Good afternoon. So this morning we came to the fourth or the direct perceivers. Direct perceivers, there are four, they're sense, mental, self-knowing, and this morning we came to the fourth, yogic direct perceivers. So we looked at the definition, and the definition had several key points. Within there, the uncommon empowering condition of a yogic direct perceiver is a stabilization, that is a union of calm abiding and meditative insight. We also saw that it has as its essence, as entity, that it is a non-conceptual and unmistaken. A yogic direct perceiver is non-conceptual and unmistaken. It has as its object either subtle impermanence or subtle or coarse selflessness. And then it's in the continuum of a person, in particular an Arya being. So those were four key aspects of the definition that we looked at this morning. And then we saw the divisions were that there are valid cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers and subsequent cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers. So just the two divisions, unlike the preceding three direct perceptions, which had the third division of non-ascertaining, that there is no division of non-ascertaining for yogic direct perception. When the object is the selflessness of selflessness, then the first moment of that direct perception is a valid cognizer. So the yogic direct perception, that is a valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments of that yogic direct perception is a subsequent cognizer. So these are the two divisions of yogic direct perception. And then the text presented a doubt that is this the case also for an Arya Buddha? For an Arya Buddha with an omniscient consciousness, their first moment of a yogic direct perception is a valid cognizer. And is each subsequent moment then a subsequent cognizer? And we saw this morning that the answer to that is no. In the continuum of a Buddha, the omniscient consciousness is only a valid cognizer. There are no self-cognizers. There are no subsequent cognizers.
그래서 And
the reply to this doubt was backed up by a quotation we saw and concluded with this morning. No matter how much I turn inside and think about it, I do not feel that an omniscient exalted wisdom is not pervaded by being a new realizer. And this is further commented on by, this is also agreed with by Kedup Rinpoche in our final quote on page 5. If something became a subsequent cognizer merely through its object being apprehended by a former valid cognizer, it would follow that the second and subsequent moments of an omniscient exalted wisdom would be subsequent cognizers. There exist many such flaws, as will be indicated below.
The Talam Sajesi Sungan de Jasaf Rimbuchi Serva. Then that in a young
Gelsap
Rimbuchi.
The author of this is actually Gelsap Jay, not Kedup Jay as we have here, so it's Gelsap Jay.
And that in a Sema Yi Musil is the Sema Didi Yi Musil, that is Gelsap Rimbuchi Sunga. Kedup Rimbuchi Sunga.
Kedup Rimbuchi.
Then Sema Yi Musil.
So what we have in our text here, that the author of this text is Kedup Rinpoche, that is correct. It's not Gelsapje, it's Kedupje. So what we have here in the text is correct. And then the meaning of the quote from Kedupje is that it would be if each subsequent moment of a valid cognizer in the continuum of an omniscient consciousness were a subsequent cognizer, this would be a mistaken understanding. The subsequent moments of a omniscient consciousness are not subsequent cognizers.
As
these quotes were just backing up what was discussed this morning, we then have now concluded this first section, or this section, on direct perceivers. And now we come to another way to divide awareness, and that is into direct valid cognizers. So we come to page 6. We see that direct valid cognizers are divided into 4. Now, we're not hearing this term, a direct valid cognizer, for the first time. In the section we've just finished on direct perception, each of the 4 direct perceivers had added as its first division a direct valid cognizer. So we come to a new division, but it's actually looking at what we've seen previously, what we've seen in the section we've just looked at.
The
First, let's just before we start the new section, let's remind ourselves of the definition of direct perception. So at the top of page 3. So a direct perceiver is a knower that is non-conceptual and unmistaken. A knower that is non-conceptual and unmistaken is the definition of a direct perceiver. And we saw that included in each of the following four definitions of the subdivisions of direct perception. So now let's look at the definition of a direct valid cognizer. So our new section on page 6. And the definition of a direct valid cognizer is a new, incontrovertible, non-conceptual knower. So both of the definitions of direct perception and direct valid cognizers are non-conceptual, but the direct valid cognizer is new and incontrovertible. Both of these outlines, A and B, direct perception and direct value cognizers, have as their subdivisions the same four. The order is slightly different, but it's the same four: self-knowers, sense, mental, and yogic. So they both have those same four divisions. The order is a little bit different, but the same four. After our definition of the direct valid cognizer being a new, incontrovertible, non-conceptual knower, we get the four divisions: self-knowing direct valid cognizers, sense direct valid cognizers, mental direct valid cognizers, yogic direct valid cognizers. So the first of the four of the direct valid cognizers is the self-knowing direct valid cognizer. So we see the definition is a little different from what we had before. So comparing it now to when we looked at self-knowers on page 4. On page 4 we saw the definition of a self-knower is that which has an aspect of an apprehender. Immediately below was the definition of a self-knowing direct perceiver, which was that which has an aspect of an apprehender, is non-conceptual and unmistaken. So in other words, it had the definition of direct perception added to the definition of a self-knower, and you get the definition of a self-knowing direct perceiver. And now the new one, self-knowing direct valid cognizer on page 6, so it starts with the definition for direct valid cognizer, a new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower, and then the specific bits for the self-knowing direct valid cognizer that is directed only inward and is just an apprehender. And let's look at our definition here. A new incontrovertible conceptual knower that is directed only inward and is just an apprehender. directed only inward. So here the direction of the self-knower, that is that it's this consciousness, this awareness travels in, is not outwards. It's not going there or here, but only inwards. So the self-knower, just like we heard before, it's only inwards, directed only inwards. And it is just an apprehender. So just or only shows that its object is only consciousness. So again, this is similar to what we heard before. The object of the self-knower is only consciousness. And the word just here, or the equivalent would be only, shows that it only has as its object consciousness. And then we have the three key terms from the direct valor cognizer definition within the self-knowing direct valor cognizer definition. It's new, it's incontrovertible, and it's non-conceptual. Taking this definition of self-knowing direct valor cognizer and thinking, perhaps it applies to minds other than a self-knower. What about the clairvoyance that knows another's mind? So the clairvoyance that knows another's mind has as its object consciousness. And we heard that a self-knower has it as its object consciousness. Also, the first moment of this clairvoyance knowing another's mind will be new. It will also be incontrovertible. In other words, it realizes its object, in this case, another's mind. And it is non-conceptual in that it is a direct perceiver. So it seems to match most of this definition. What it doesn't match is that it is just an apprehender. So hopefully then it should be quite clear what is meant by a self-knowing direct valor cognizer, because we looked at it only last night. So last night when we looked at a self-knowing direct perceiver, so on page 4, there were the three types, and this is the first type, that which is a valid cognizer. So the first of the three types of self-knowing direct perceivers on page 4 is this very one, the self-knowing direct valid cognizer.
That
therefore we can move swiftly on to the next one, the sense direct valid cognizer. Now we come to the definition. A new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower. So that is the part that is the definition of the direct valid cognizer, and to make it unique to the sense direct valid cognizer, that arises in dependence upon a physical sense power that is its uncommon empowering condition. If we compare the definition of the sense direct valid cognizer and what we looked at previously on page 3, the definition of a sense direct perception, you'll see that each of them share part of each other's definition. One bullet point matches. What is then unique to the sense direct valid cognizer is that for the first part of the definition, a new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower, and what's unique to the sense direct perception is the second bullet point, is a knower that is non-conceptual and unmistaken. But the other parts of the definition are the same. So underneath the definition for the sense direct valid cognizers, we have the divisions. So there are five sense direct valid cognizers, apprehending forms and so forth. This too then is what we covered previously when we looked at sense direct perceivers. Because with the sense direct perceiver, we saw, so if you look at page 3, we have the definition of a sense direct perceiver. Then further down, we have the alternative divisions of sense direct perceivers, and they are the same five. In other words, there's a sense direct perceiver for each of the senses. And the first moment of each of those five is a valid cognizer. So when we looked at this last weekend, we saw that there are two ways to divide sense direct perceivers. So there are divisions into three and divisions, the alternative divisions, into five. The way to understand these two ways of dividing together is to take the five and say there's a sense direct perceiver for each of the senses, and each of those five are subdivided into three. So an eye sense direct perceiver, its first moment is the direct valid cognizer, and the second moment is a subsequent cognizer. And this is then so these five are replicated in these sense direct valid cognizers, but only with that first subdivision being the first moment. Because then, if it's a first moment, it fulfills the definition of a direct valid cognizer in that it's new. New pointing to the first moment. Then if one were to looking still at sense direct valid cognizers, then if one wanted to define each of their divisions, we would do it in the same way as we did with the sense direct perceivers. So at the bottom of page 3, we have two example definitions of the sense direct perceiver apprehending form and the sense direct perceiver apprehending a sound. So what's happening there is the observed object condition, a form, the unique part is the uncommon empowering condition, the eye sense power, and its observed object condition of form. So we're seeing this now on page 3 for the sensor act perceive apprehending a form. We can take that same part of the definition, but just change the second bullet point to that of the definition of a direct valid cognizer, making it a new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower. And then suddenly, we have the definition of the sense direct valid cognizer, an eye sense direct valid cognizer, or an ear sense direct valid cognizer. So these definitions have this, this interplay. So you can take, just to repeat it again, if you take the definition of a sense direct perceived apprehending a form on page 3, and you change the second bullet point with the unique definition of a direct valid cognizer being a new incontrovertible knower, that definition then becomes the eye sense direct valid cognizer.
That is in the Nanganatuki, Bene Migi Sheberki, Migi Ombola Tene, and Dakin Tene Anzuki, Bene Chilo Medoro Sina, Ganes Dakin Tungri Lavendu, and the Disigrua Bene Nanganatuki, Zunyan Toyadi, Nanganatu Dong de Tana.
Just to remind ourselves then what is meant by the empowering condition, the eye sense power, ear sense power. So it's just, as you heard this morning, it's a subtle form, and it's within this form that the object that's being observed appears. And independent on that, this object appears to the sense consciousness. So we can understand this through thinking about the mirrors we have at home. It's independent on seeing the reflection of our face in a mirror that we can then see our face. If our face doesn't reflect in the mirror, then one will not be able to see the reflection of one's face. So that is the role that the sense power plays. The object appears like a reflection, like the reflection does in a mirror. The object appears to the sense power, and in dependence on that then, the corresponding a sense direct perceiver or sense valid cognizer can apprehend the object.
Then the Migi Sheba Digi, the Migi Sheba Digi, Medo Tonga, the Ni Tombi Gidget Dambo de Tamar S. Taki Dambo Tons and a Gidiniba Tandu, the Ni Medo Tonga Gidiniba di, then Chishi Esiora.
When the eye sense consciousness, independence on its uncommon empowering condition of the eye sense power, sees the flower, that very first moment is a valid cognizer, and the second and subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers.
Sisa medo tobe migi sheba kiji dambo digi medo de sarut tong dambo toba sarut toba es sarut milu ri bare esere ta medo tobe kiji niba di da migi sheba kiji niba di ta medo di togo de ne de la sarut milu ri ba mare to asane de stro sarwa de ningbal ma sona chik to sa ta sarut se de mare dambo se mare es dambo toba de mare se urwana
yini miluare
miluare wala to gor wa de chena chema mare mai bi gim chena lesen dang bo to ba de ma sar du milu wa sar du to ba de mare dang bo to ba mare es ke to an de stro sar ya se urwa.
So therefore, when the eye sense power, the eye sense consciousness rather, when it sees a flower, that very first moment is a valid cognizer. Why? Because it's new, it's incontrovertible, non-conceptual, and a knower. The second and subsequent moments are no longer valid because they don't fulfill the definition. They are now subsequent. And what in the definition do they not fulfill? They are no longer new. So the term new specifically indicates that first moment. The subsequent cognizer remains incontrovertible, the object remains realized, but it is no longer new. And therefore, it's not a valid cognizer, but subsequent. Now to tie this into what we're looking at the end of this morning's class, in the context of yogic direct perceiver. So there, when you're talking about valid and valid cognizers and subsequent cognizers, it was said that for an omniscient consciousness, the first moment is a valid cognizer, and the following moments are not subsequent. They remain valid cognizers. So this is the case for the omniscient consciousness only. So for a Buddha, each and every moment is a valid cognizer. For us ordinary beings, us non-Buddhas, only the first moment is new. And therefore only the first moment of an object being realized is a valid cognizer. The subsequent moments for us ordinary beings are no longer valid cognizers, but subsequent cognizers. So here there's a distinction between the omniscient consciousness and our ordinary consciousnesses. If we're wondering why there's this difference between the second moment of a valid cognizer of us ordinary beings and the second and subsequent moments of a Buddha's omniscient consciousness, why for the Buddha it's not subsequent but for us it is, well, there is more to it than it merely being the second and subsequent moments of the object being realized that makes a cognizer subsequent as opposed to valid.
Then this is what I want to be Lumba Chilo Togo in a Dangbo Michi Lumba Tele Togo, Sagittel Drohegi, Midi Guyu Bache. The Michi Guyu Guinea, Mavaka, to Guinea, Machin Watching Baina. The Mid Guyu again, the Lumba Tele Drohegi, Baba, Droshin Guyu, but the Sagi Guyu again, Midi, Samad, the Chibare, Sama. Gigi Dambo did not give out a bit. Washing goma, also a bit. That Okay,
for us ordinary people, we do have fellow cognizers as well as subsequent, and we can understand the reason why there are these two through an illustration. Let's say we need to go somewhere we've never been before. If we are led by someone who has experience, who knows the path, who knows the route, we'll have a guide and we'll follow behind them. So the guide knows the route and can take us there, and we'll get there with great ease now, independence on our guide. So we'll just be the ordinary traveler and we'll have a guide taking us there. So the guide is likened to the valid cognizer, and it's because it's through the power of the guide that the traveler can arrive at their destination. Likewise, it's through the power of the valid cognizer that there are subsequent cognizers. It's only through the object having been realized, in other words, a valid cognizer, that there can be a subsequent cognitions, further moments of realization. So this here, like a guide that leads the traveler, the valid cognizer, through the power of the valid cognizer, there are subsequent cognizers.
Oh, the mini, such a you can mini yovena, Dambodi, Chivene, Conium the Drona, Letugure, then Dambodi, Machivene, Coron Drona, Trotugur, says the Trotugura, ni, mini, you can ni, Niga, Yuvena, such a Guyovena, Guyovena, Dambodi, Michi, Chitovene, such the Letugure, such the Midambodi, Machivene, Coron Chipurone, Trotuga, Nibayorva, or Pedi Nashi. Sangi, Namkin, Kitty Dambo de Samare, Kitty Niba de Samare Gassan, Kitty Niba digi, you toy the Kitty Dambo de la Rale or Maris, Kitty Dambo digi, and in Jimmy Terry Mato by Napole, Kitty Niba de Totuguri, as you were there.
The omniscient consciousness is different. The omniscient consciousness, each moment is a valid cognizer. It doesn't, the omniscient consciousness doesn't rely on a previous moment in order to realize the object. It can keep realizing the object newly. So this would be like two traveling companions who both know the path, who both know how to arrive at their destination. They can travel together, or they can travel independently, and they'll still arrive at the destination. They don't require the assistance of the other to get to the destination. So therefore, either traveler, alone or together, can arrive at the destination. And this is similar to the omniscient consciousness. Each moment of omniscient consciousness is able to newly realize the object. It doesn't depend on a previous moment of realization to induce further moments of realization, in other words, subsequent realizations.
Kiji Dangwo de Dobala Ramaleva to Korong Korongi Dotuguare, Kiji Dangwana Kotuguare. Marazu Yuki Kiji Niba di Dangwo de Matova and Kiji Niba Domato Persides, to a Lingua. There do Sanki said the Kun Chasan Bansawares, Kun Yomo because Yomo be Mashibi, Mashibi, Maripa, Chasan Bansawares. Chasan Mashibi, Maripa, you name Hevare. Chasan Kiji Niba di Toyalaya.
The reason for this difference really comes down to a difference of power between an omniscient consciousness and the consciousness of all non-Buddhas, is because a Buddha has A Buddha is unique in that only a Buddha has completely eliminated each and every fault and even the slightest or subtlest trace of that fault. So therefore, the Buddha's consciousness is not obscured by even the slightest trace of ignorance. Certainly not the case for us. We have a lot of ignorance. Every being who's not a Buddha still has obscurations. And it's those that limit the power of the consciousness. The omniscient consciousness, having eliminated each and every fault, therefore has the power to newly realize every object and doesn't depend on a previous realization.
Rikwa samatnaja dine chik dhiliya shimkyu chaya dhe mangpo liga ora dine pene nga nga zuge yaan chik rikwa sam cheba chaya chik dine shi liga ora yaan pene nga nga zuge miki sheba kichi tangpo digi meto atong dine kaya chik nipa digi chishi larwa kichi tangpo digi meto de sarzu tokpa rea lagurwa tangpo tokpa rea lagurwa ta kichi nipa digi meto de tangpo tokpa ma reas ko toane tues toa saiwi chaya le tokpa reas yaa chik kukurwa lagurwa
ちょっとだ、借ば借用でなんとけど、3体で。右借ば借地担保とび余地、目とで借地担保で、あの借地にばぎ、右借ば借地にばきで、右借ば借地担保でガサるわ。右借ば借地にばきで、右借ば借地担保でガサはんさ、右借ば借地担保とは速地や、ガサでいかそう。右借ば借地にびかそう。だ、右借ば借地にばでき、からとんごるすね。
대지 제가 밀려디 도우도와 제가 사도 밀리기 불바리 차기도 와서 옛날에 테마 차기도 했으네 나 이거 제가 되는 지고래
If one thinks about this in some detail, then many questions will arise to oneself. So we've understood thus far that the first moment of the eye sense direct perceiver is a valid cognizer because it's newly realizing its object. We can express it differently and say the first moment of the first moment that a flower, for example, is realized, it is an eye sense direct valid cognizer. So either what we have on the division on page 3 or page 6. Then we hear that the second moment is no longer new. So therefore, it cannot be a sense direct valid cognizer. It can only be a eye sense direct perceiver that is the subsequent cognizer. So what one of the divisions we have on page 3. So that's what we've been hearing thus far. The question then comes, but hang on, this subsequent cognizer, its object, that flower, is not the same flower as was realized a single moment before by the when it was newly realized. Subsequent cognition is realizing a slightly different flower. It has changed. It's impermanent. As this is the case, surely there is no such thing as a subsequent cognition, but rather the second moment is actually a new moment because the object has changed, and therefore it is a direct valid cognizer that is newly realizing the object, because the object in the second moment is different from the object in the first moment, and therefore both the first and second moment are new because the object is changing.
Me 동구 미기 원본하는 매주간 사실 치료 요게 매도 되는 거지 통미도 와 통과 말을 했어. 내가 나 진행이 제발 제일 이거로 와. 되네 마송나. 되네 미기 시변은 마송 이기 시변은 마송 되네 미기 원본하는 매주간 매도 듬라디 미기 원본하는 여러 배 되네 치료 요 말을 했어. 되네 제발 찍어로 와.
Someone else reflecting on this may say, taking this previous analogy where we spoke about the sense power being likened to the a reflection, it's only through the object appearing in the mirror that one can see it. It's only through our face appearing in the mirror that we can see our face. But when we see our face in the mirror, we're not really seeing our face. What we are seeing is a reflection of our face. Similarly, when this flower appears to our eye sense power, and then our eye sense consciousness realizes it, is it not only realizing this appearance, which is likened to a reflection, in the eye sense power? It's not actually realizing the flower out there in the world, just the reflection of the flower in the eye sense power. So this is another doubt someone may have. When one debates this topic, then doubts like this do arise.
Meshe Chembo Mata, Dutain Tungorva. Chizanga washing me, Dutain, many dulagor, Dutain dulagorva. Chizanga Tonga, the other Tonga, Meshe Nala Shayangi, Dutain Chembo Tungorva. D. and Melona Shatin Chembo, many Yomarva. Megina, Dilly Chunjun Mata Yomar. Chizanga Tonga, the Meshe Nala Shatin, Dutain Chembo Tungor, Jesa Tonga, or many Dutain Dumi Tonson Lagorva.
And similarly, if we know from science that matter is comprised of particles of varying sizes, none of which we tend to see, but we are assured that independent on the usage of microscopes and of varying strength, one can see particles of various magnitudes of tininess. So this we hear, and then if we were to look through a microscope and see some of these tiny particles, we may be amazed because they're really quite big. Because as we look through this microscope, of course, they're amplified. And then we say, oh, I saw that tiny, tiny particle. And it was this big, and we see it as quite large. So what are we really seeing there? In this illustration in the world, we do say, oh, I saw that tiny particle and it was so enlarged. And it's correct to say, it's unmistaken to say that we have seen this tiny particle in its enlarged form, and that is how we talk in the world.
And
Similarly, when we see this beautiful flower, what we really are seeing is that this flower that is appearing to our eye sense power, and that is what the eye sense consciousness observes. So that is the case. But what we would say, and it would be correct, is, oh, I saw the flower out there in the world, but our sense consciousness didn't see the flower, it actually saw what appeared to its sense power. And some who investigate here may say, but hang on, when I close my eyes, I don't see any form. So does that mean there's no form? The purpose of these debates, because it may seem a little bit abstract, is actually to strengthen our analytical skills, to sharpen our wisdom. So that's the purpose of having these discussions and thinking about this topic. And to talk a little further about subsequent cognizers. So we've heard before the first moment is a valid cognizer, it's new, and the second and subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers. Subsequent cognizers are twofold. There are those which are conceptual and those which are non-conceptual. So they're conceptual, subsequent cognizers, and non-conceptual, subsequent cognizers. The non-conceptual, subsequent cognizers are like we've been hearing about. It's a direct perception, a direct eye perceiver apprehending a flower. The second and following moments are subsequent cognizers, and these are non-conceptual. So what would then be an illustration of a conceptual subsequent cognizer, or conceptual consciousness that is a subsequent cognizer? That would be later when we recall that flower that we saw. Now we're recalling the flower, so we're using our memory consciousness, and that memory consciousness of a flower is a conceptual subsequent cognizer. Non-conceptual is the direct subsequent cognizer. The conceptual subsequent cognizer is our memory of the previously observed object.
Tong Migi Shepherd, you be Chishi Yomar, Samayomar, Chishi Yomagasa.
For example, if we are walking in a beautiful park surrounded by magnificent flowers, and we're looking at them in awe, and we'll have a variety of sense direct valid cognizers. Every first moment that we see the flowers, a sense direct valid cognizer, and then the second and subsequent moments will be sense direct perceivers that are subsequent cognizers. Then, if we look away for a moment, or we perhaps tell our friend who's next to us about the flowers on their other side, and we're not observing them, then we aren't observing them at that moment, but we still recall what these beautiful flowers look like. So we're utilizing our memory consciousness. And later at home, when we're sitting there, reflecting on this lovely stroll we had in the park, surrounded by all these magnificent flowers, then again, we'll be using our memory consciousness. And this memory is a conceptual subsequent cognizer. And it's through the utilization of this memory consciousness, which is the conceptual subsequent cognizer, that when we're thinking about the object again and again and again, then our minds, such as attachment, grow, longing for that beautiful walk in the park. This is the case also when we hear speech that we don't want to hear. Perhaps someone scolds us or belittles us or speaks to us in an inappropriate manner. In the moment when we're hearing that speech, we're hearing it through an ear sense consciousness. The first moment of hearing it is an ear sense direct valid cognizer or an ear sense direct perceiver. And all the second and subsequent moments are ear sense direct perceivers, which are subsequent cognizers. Then later, when we are on our own and we're recalling what was said, this is of course a memory consciousness, and this memory consciousness is a subsequent cognizer and a conceptual subsequent cognizer. And here then, this is where we have the experience of this unwanted speech going around again and again and again. We're replaying what was said earlier that day. We're not hearing it again. We don't have this person next to us abusing us now with, and therefore experiencing new valid cognizers. This is just our memory consciousness and independence on utilizing this, having it going around in our head again and again. Our anger grows, our annoyance grows. And then, if we continue with this, perhaps some weeks or months later, still remembering what was said, when we see that person, immediately apprehension arises, perhaps even anger for them. And this all comes about independence on firstly having heard what was said with the valor cognizer and later utilizing the memory consciousness. If we had never given rise to that ear sense direct perceiver, which means we had never heard what was said, we wouldn't have had all this mental turmoil. We wouldn't have had this memory consciousness, this subsequent cognizer that is a conceptual consciousness. We take this understanding then, it can be very useful, because the words that others have said to us, we do often replay them. We may be a month later remembering what someone said to us, and this, our mind has remained disturbed by this. The purpose then of our practice is to try and overcome these destructive emotions, because afflictions such as anger, these only serve to accumulate negative karma and perpetuate our suffering. We need to utilize then our knowledge of the Dharma then to destroy these afflictions, to overcome these afflictions. So we sit there on our cushion or in our chair, and we remind ourselves, this, what I have going around in my head now, in my mind now, this is something that was said to me a week or a month ago. It's finished. That speech is not, it's not being directed to me now. Makes no sense to remain angry about something that is finished. Makes no sense to remain angry about this person who probably has moved on from that event, but me, I'm the only one holding on to it. This person is not here. The speech is not being said. All that is happening is my memory consciousness, this as the subsequent cognizer, is replaying it. This serves no purpose. This is just harming me. Because I can see within myself, I have no peace, I have no happiness. Rather, my mind is angry or frustrated, wishing I had said this, wishing I had never met that person. All these kinds of negative, over-conceptualizing thoughts and suffering that are dominating me now. Here we're using this knowledge we've gained to cultivate wisdom and to see the faults of allowing this memory of something harmful to continue to dominate us, and seeing that this is only causing suffering, and to rather see the lack of validity of such a process, we can start to let it go, and our mind can start to be more spacious and peaceful.
Yang ang tu ge, nam ju ne ang che ma je le ya ang tu kong la de, ni ma ku ang a de ni che song di ni che song sen bi ge ni ma de zhen jie, an mi de du jia de sen jun jie xia da ma ga wa xia kong la ya da di li, an ni pa ni bu jie ge, sam lo di li guo ru wang a zu ni ma de jie ge zhen jie. Si zan di ni zan di su pa du shi ne zhen zhen mo jie ju gu le su. Da bian ni ru wang a zu di ru wa, bu gu chung chung ge bu la mi bu gu chung chung bian ni lo dun jie yin bu gu chi ang a zu li ya, ni ma jie du jia xiu jie cik su wo da bian du jie la wa yin na. Da mi di ni la ga mi di lo dun ju si le de yin na, an zu ge mi lo dun ju ge mi di li ya, kong lang ma ru wa.
A lot of our mental disturbance, especially in the class of anger, comes about together with a memory consciousness, recalling something that was said or done in the past, whether recent past or even the distant past. So this is an event that's long finished, but it still goes around within our minds, kept alive by our memory of it and our replaying of that memory. So when we were young children playing on the playground, and often young kids speak to each other in unpleasant ways, and other young children would have said some rude things to us, some hurtful things to us, and we at the time perhaps would have cried and been upset. But now, if all those years later we were to meet our playground friend, it would be bizarre to hold something that they said to us 50, 60 years ago, to hold it against them. That would really be beyond petty. It would be really quite silly. So similarly, if someone said something to us unpleasant just a year ago, we shouldn't be holding on to that now and holding it against them, giving life to those words, continuing giving life to those words, and thereby continuing to be harmed by them. This event is long finished. Moreover, that expression of harmful speech would have come from their own afflicted mind. That person would have been angry at the time, upset at the time, perhaps at us, perhaps about something nothing to do with us. But whatever led to their anger, their expression of the anger is a reflection of their unhappy mind. So they spoke to us in this unwanted way due to their own way of thinking. So whether we did anything to disturb them or not, it's actually more about them or not, more about them than ourselves. The fault that we're making is not what we may or may not have done a year ago. The fault we're making is keeping it alive within ourselves, replaying that memory. So thinking like that can lead to us starting to release that memory, to not grasp at it so tightly, to not give it so much life. And to the extent that we can gain skill in this, we can let go of these memories that still harm us so, and thereby gain more peace and have a calmer mind.
Kong 지단 태섬 레드 내비기 요바는 가서 하고 오고 말 이내 소속 독바 태섬 사제 태섬 대 휴체리 거의 내비기 그래 삼비게 니가 알야 휴체 다제 안 니기 거의 내비기 그래 삼제 니 내비 마지 독탑려야 안 될야 내기 파 파니가 니를 기고 한 두게 자네 코 쇠야 하러서 자네 코 쩐가 하나 루야다 자네 코 두셔 지야다 지 지야지 리고 지단 가는 지금 또 망체디 남도 망체디 대비기 최 내마 제지기도 망보 망고 제 남도 레제 니기 되셔게야 콘로게야 마제게야 직직 망비기 되네 용구로 용구로 해서 독벌 강하래자 디긴 전에 어디 그 디오는 아티친 뭐그 디당보 디지 콜르네 디가 디제 오선 비게 되네 남도 다 말하기 내바다 망보 니기 로르파 초진에 남도 망고지 레제 되네 인자 남도 망보래 되네 아주 동할이야 강할이고 다다위에 삼모들 디코두게 삼모들 누아마들이고 망아서 삼다외네
So much of our mental turmoil comes about through our memory of past events. Either like in this illustration, where we're holding on to something that was said or done to us, and it's burning away inside of us, destroying our present. Or where we're recalling something that we enjoyed in the past, and we're longing for it again. Once again, due to the attachment, we're not peaceful now, we're not satisfied with what we have, rather we long for something that we had in the past. So right now, we're experiencing turmoil, either due to being desiring something from the past, or due to anger arising due to an event in the past. Another area that problems also, problems in our present come from, is not looking backwards, but looking forwards, and thinking about events that are yet to come, so thinking about the future. This too leads to mental turmoil. So for example, if we think about something that happened to us in the past that was unwanted and we're upset about it, let's say a person spoke to us in an unwanted manner, we're upset about it and we're thinking about what an awful person they were and how could they do this to us and we're upset about this, and then we're thinking tomorrow or next week, I'm going to have to meet that person again, and I know what they are like. I know that they are going to speak to me in this way again, or they're going to act towards me in this way again. Now we're engaging this whole fantasy about the future. So we got our negativity from the past, and we're adding to this the fantasy about the future. And again, this just amplifies our mental turmoil. So if we're thinking about the future like this, if we look at it from the perspective of the sevenfold division of mind, of awareness, we'd say, this fantasy about the future, that is a doubt. It's not something certain. We are holding to it with certainty as if it's true, as if it's real. But we cannot say with any degree of certainty that will definitely happen. So this shows our confusion. This shows our error that we are making. So here we use this knowledge that we're gaining here in Buddhist psychology and Lodik to let go of the past, to not fantasize about the future. And in this way, our mind can become much more spacious and peaceful.
And 但是我们的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是一个人的人是 Lord,
well, memory consciousnesses that disturb us, so many of these, probably the vast majority, come about through our sense consciousnesses, so where we will be either having desire or anger arising for something that we've heard, so through our ear sense consciousness, or something that we have seen, or something we've tasted or smelt or touched. So independence on our ear, our sense consciousnesses, so much attachment and anger later arises independent on our memory of those. And also, and with attachments and anger, also towards people, so we may feel closer to some and distant from others. So dividing people in this kind of way. So here are the sense consciousnesses. It's through those five doors that a lot of disturbance comes through relying on those memories. And then, so what we're looking at here is how, from the concept of the presentation of Lorik, our memory of the past, what harms us, think there of the sense consciousnesses. And in terms of the future, our fantasies about the future, there it's awarenesses such as doubt and wrong consciousnesses. These, thinking about the future, this definitely will happen, or something even more made up, doubt and wrong consciousnesses. These harm us. This, from this afflictions now, such anger and attachments and the like arise. So for example, and then another illustration would be if we see two people over there, they're out of earshot, but we know them, and they're talking to each other, and they're perhaps talking to each other quite intensely. And maybe one of them glances at us, and then they continue their conversation, but now they laugh. What arises in our mind? Oh, they're talking about me. And they're not saying very nice things. So immediately a whole lot of conceptual consciousnesses arise within us. But we have no idea what they're saying. All our own inner story. So this is an illustration of non-ascertaining awareness. Because we are realizing nothing of what's going on over there. We can just see something, but we are imputing meaning. We haven't realized anything there. And then what happens? A doubt arises within us. We think, oh, they're gossiping about myself. They're talking about that. Maybe they're accusing me of this or of that. And we're getting angry and frustrated. And we now dislike those two even more than before. Or maybe one was a friend and we think, oh, our friend is siding with our enemy. And now we don't like our friend anymore. So this happens. And what are we basing this on? A non-ascertaining awareness. So in this way, we can start to see the foolishness of our way of thinking. We start to see how we believe in things that really don't exist in the way that we believe them too. And we can start to loosen our grasping at things existing in the way that we think they appear to us as.
The name is Dirang, Jiburang, Dirgat, that soa karali, Dirang, the Delia, Jamba Tianje, and do chin some down Kumwina, the Jamanisha Kumnachi Higuro, the Jamanisha. To do some day, Jena, and Digi Gardugosna, some of the that is Lulia, soa karali, do Tichibu, Tadivasa, Nyama, Jijes, or Nyama, and Aldila, or Nyama, Ditosa, Jamba de Chasang, 가르고래 다두 치디다 심 다데기 툴릴레 소와 카레라 친구 디랑 친구 다디데 디네 녀마게 남도기 디게 제해게 남도 쳇세 가 뭐보기 지용그레 용으로서 남도 쳇산 가야데 디네 심리아 회시시의 최고다 디네 심 회례시 디네 심 기부로 실레 지시데라 차 제가 두 전에 돼야데 지게 심 잠바데제 다디디네 지데 잠바데 고미아디 자만야샤 곰나지 희고르와 디네다 니 가르치고서는 디네 곰요데 가르치고서는 시디로 차고르 셈 기볼 헬레 차고르와 디 차베 김쟁 가르라네 디네 다데삼로 지부 초와데 가르용 지지랑 다데디 냠하게 남도 세상 가르고르 모베 남도 용하게 차상 끼고 가고르 끼고 말에 지산 지다 냠하게 남도 자마라 마데 모베게 지지 용그르서 자마라 마데
Reflecting like this, we can see how so much of our current mental anguish comes about in dependence on our conceptual memory consciousness of past events, as well as our fantasizing about future events, and truly believing that these fantasies will happen. When we see how so many problems come from this, then naturally the wish will arise, how can I deal with this skillfully? I don't want to continue to suffer in this way. So one of the techniques is to utilize the practice of the four close placements of mindfulness. And the first, the close placement of mindfulness on the body, there we take our mind and we bring it inwards, restrain our mind from going to past events, restrain our mind from going to future events, and just abide mindfully in the present, observing our body, observing what arises in our body, and holding this in a single-pointed way, meaning allowing our mind to be drawn or to follow thoughts, memories of the past, or not allowing it to follow fantasies of the future. And when these thoughts of the past or the future arise, just bring ourselves back to the present in terms of what the feeling is that's arising in our body. As we get more skilled in this in the session, we block past memories and future fantasies, bringing ourselves more inward. What happens then is our mind starts to reside mindfully in the present. And this has residing mindfully in the present serves to relax our mind, make it calm and open and spacious. So this peaceful mind then comes about through not being disturbed by our past memories or fantasies about the future, but just residing mindfully in the present.
Nyamik
This presentation that I've been given in this last period this afternoon hopefully points out some of the benefits that come from studying Lorik. Because it's through studying Buddhist psychology we come to understand our minds better, ourselves better, and therefore become more skilled in dealing with our inner turmoil, and more skilled in living, more skilled in developing peaceful outlook. And that is some of the temporary benefits that come, the short-term benefits that come. We can be more skilled in our way of thinking, not be drawn into the past or thinking about the future. The long-term benefits are when we come to think about how to develop an actual path or a realization within ourselves, seeing which minds we want to strengthen, which we shouldn't trust and we should abandon, minds such as doubt and wrong consciousness. This is what we've just been talking about, looking at the faults that come from over-conceptualizing, which come this mental busyness, which so much of it comes about through recalling events which are recently or long past, or on the other hand, thinking about events which are yet to come. If through this presentation, when we come to see that these aren't reliable, we'll want to let go. And we'll come to, through understanding Lodic, we will understand more clearly why our memory is unreliable and our fantasies about the future are unreliable. And this is because you'll start to identify what these minds are. So for example, thinking about the future, even if we have great certainty that something will happen because we know the event or the person, we actually cannot say for certain what will happen. So therefore it's a doubt, or it's a wrong consciousness. And these kinds of consciousnesses are not valid cognizers, so they are not incontrovertible, which means they haven't realized the object, which means it's not reliable. So to put a lot of value on something which is mistaken is of course foolish. When we think like that, these future fantasies, we'll let go of them. What we think may happen, may do so, but it's not going to dominate our mind right now. We can let go of it much more easily, and in that way be more peaceful. And likewise with past events. Seeing that these are past, and that holding on to them only harms us, we can become more skilled in letting go. And then these are some of the benefits of studying Lodic. So we'll finish here for this study group, and if you have some unanswered questions, then please ask. Jeannie.
Hi, you've probably said it, and I apologise if you have, and I just didn't get it. I'm really struggling with the difference between incontrovertible and unmistaken.
Good. Okay. So what's the difference between incontrovertible and unmistaken? Milua dang matruwa. Deni kepakarire.
Ye milu alamna yidungone ra to khorwa ko khore. Machu alamna de to khwa yo mare. To ba yo de mo de machu alamna khun na wa da kara khun ma to ba ine khoro na shi da kara don da yo ba ine machu wa cha khore wa.
In brief then, if a consciousness is incontrovertible, it has realized its object. It has realized its object. If a consciousness is unmistaken, its object is not realized, but it has ascertained it in a way that is similar to how it exists. So incontrovertible, the object's realized. But if it's unmistaken, the object's not realized, but it is similar to how it's ascertained in a way that is similar to how it exists. Yes, Cameron?
You were talking about the first moment of an I sense consciousness is about a cognizer, and the second moment is a subsequent cognizer. And you gave the example of flower being observed, and the flower being is actually a subsequent cognition, because there was a first moment seeing the flower being a subsequent moment. Is that partly too because the flower itself appears to us as static? Whereas if we were looking at something like a wave breaking, we'd be seeing different aspects of the wave moment by moment. Therefore, we're actually doing a direct
cognition
of the wave breaking.
Okay. So what was said earlier is that when one sees an object such as a flower, which is a static object, the first moment is a valid cognizer, and the second and subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers. Is that different with an object that is moving, such as a wave, where that we can directly perceive the object moving? So is that then something different? Can I ask it like that?
But it's sort of changing a lot. It's
yes.
Like a person walking past.
Yes.
It's something that's completely changing.
Yes. Okay.
Another example might be being in the middle of a storm.
Hmm.
It's changing around. Perhaps that's a better example.
Yes. Well, I'll give both. Okay. Dini, Natsu Pena, Natsu. Migi wampo metokla tadu deni kesi dampo temare kesi knipane chepare chesere tse ini yul de gyugi yomare rakpa gyugi yomare ne metokle ini yul loke yena yul loke de hamsang dan wampo gyugi yare deni ti netangos loke rebe pena also balab Balab tongna, dene di mambo gyugiere, ato di selpo tongiere. Yamela namsi pe duza yena, chapa suk tempo, balakpa suk tempo gyab, dene tsama mambo gyugiere. Dene di namsak di lokiare pe?
Tina gyua nga juge, chik gyua, gyua di, rakwa rakwa di gyue, gyua, 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 나데 그 미기 지 매도 다지 매도디 기지 유월 두고로 와 이제 님발 막상 님 두고로 와 근데 사 매도디 기지 유월 두고로 와 당한 저기 디 유월 두고 와 유월 때 당한 저기 유월 두고 와 하고 그거 말데 그 기지 유월 두고 두고 그걸 가서네 저 참모라 차려라 근데 락바 되지 않아 하고 두고 와
되네 그냥 기 렌데 고송 이네 이네 페랑아 좀 발라 통두 되네 The Gyugiore, not so the Tongiore. Then he Katsarere, Kitchigmare, Katsarere, the Chema Sapere? Because in Palapamudi, then he
Daddy Shevachi Gunze Lanadigo, Shevachi Gu.
Gosso. So in brief, there wouldn't be a difference whether the object is. The storm one is observing, or the wave, or if it were something static like a flower, because whilst those first kinds of objects, we can observe the change in a very manifest way, the flower too is changing momentarily. So there's no difference in presentation. Then I ask, so if we're watching an object that we can perceive is as moving, such as a wave, as it breaks, we can see it moving, then is as it goes through this sequence of it breaking, are these all new valid cognizers as we see the object changing? And he said, no, we could rather consider it as a continuum of consciousness as being a single valid cognizer.
Delia, 我们都带着这个行动的迷路去 두제 방금 이제 티저는 나도 와시에 차단 통도 걸어 봐. 통로도 나 내내기 나보 미통에 미주 통 와시에 니바 깽그루 주 통 와시에 니바니 디제라 안에 따게 주 통 와시에 내내도 루토 주 와시에 되게 지구 윤지버레베 카가레라나 디디에 와시에 되게 참아 유코런 카가 인자 참아카가 샤나 지사슴산도와 벤다보 미기 숙통이 와시지 디야 참아체 데네 오 디제라 안에 따기 숙통이 와시지 디야 와시 따 숙통이 참아 그 유코런 카가 균 제와 메디기 유코런 카가 인자 데 와시 디야 사와사바로 차기면 데네지
And stay with the illustration of a wave. So there's, if we're watching a wave, so we'll see it gather and rise, then it'll break and fade away. So the object, the wave, has a single continuity. Us, as the observer, our valid cognition has a single continuity. So we'd say there's one valid cognition that is observing that wave. That single wave, because they're both of the same continuity. So that's one point. Then if you ask, so if we're looking at the fields outside here, and we'll see a variety of objects, we will perhaps see a farmer, we'll see some sheep, we'll see a kangaroo. So these are different objects, but we're just standing there observing the countryside. So the observer, our consciousness, this is one continuum, but we're seeing different objects. So here I would say that these are a variety of valid cognizers. So in other words, one's enjoying the expansive view, and in that expansive view we're seeing different objects. So the object possessor, the observer, the valid cognizer, we say, oh, that's one continuity. But because the objects don't have any relationship, whereas a wave, although the object you could say is changing, it's one continuity. In this case, when you observe, looking at the view, and you're seeing different objects, a person or the farmer, the sheep, the kangaroo, then I'd say each, because the object's different, each one is realized by a different valid cognizer. So this is my opinion. It's not necessarily a final view. You look for yourself. You investigate yourself.
So in the case of the wave, the subsequent moments of the wave are subsequent cognizers. So in other words, it starts out as, even though the wave is perceived as different, it's still a subsequent cognizer.
Dene nato balap tongdu. Dene da darung chese iyore.
Yeah. 스카브레 발업 담보 타는 발업 채와 용구레 발업 충와 용구레 유지라 최신 때 채와 용구레
또 이 놈의 캐단 캐단 로커슨 송의 선비도 그래서 내 참아 균 치키레 디 율던 율첸 고소니
지자 율첸 발업 담네 열 채로나 충로나 균치바로 혼이 발업디 취직바 대지 취직바 자가 맞추 다가라 리그로 담담 야데 맞 미디 야라베나 마데바 미치라로 와 대지 Lungi Jin, Chudi Zamzam Yardu, Zamzam Mardu, Zi Yun di Chibara Chad, Yun Chibara Chadra. Di Nerapso, Mikta, Dibeka, Kitchi Dambodi, Tamari, Kitchini Badi Chishi, the Kitchi Dambodi Balap Chewa Tong, Kitchini Badi Balap Chung, Tongwene, Kitchini Chishi Chagre, Tama Chagmare. Diana Mixi Zum, Saji, Mix Zum, Yanjaji Mixi Chetavana, Di Yan Tama Chagre.
Okay, so if you're watching the wave, and you are just observing the wave, so you're watching it rise and fall, the object is of one continuity. But I would say actually that there, the first moment of observing the wave is a valor cognizer. As you continue to observe that same wave, the subsequent moment would become subsequent cognition. Yeah? Subsequent cognizers. So the object isn't, the object's of one continuity, but the consciousness would first have a first moment to be a valid cognizer, and all the others would be subsequent. If one were to look away or close one's eyes and re-observe the wave, then that would be a new valid cognizer.
Okay? So this is not just a sense direct cognizer.
So that would be an eye sense direct valid cognizer. Yeah, the first moment would be eye sense direct valid cognizer. Yeah.
I just want to clarify there's a connection between subsequent cognition and normal beings using subsequent cognition and their ignorant understanding of the nature of reality. Is that why we're not Buddhists? So I'm just, does that make sense?
Is there a relationship between subsequent cognizers and the ignorance understanding reality? Okay. Then Chese Dang Natsumi Pelpa Naso Dempa Drupa Singare, Natsumi Neto Hakogi Mare. De Nito Yerbe.
Chese Le. Did Chese Dempa Drupa Singare?
And there isn't a relationship. There isn't. Okay. Right, thank you very much.